good morning. In a matter of about 24 hours, we went from storm watch to reporting from our storm center to now reporting on storm cleanup. Good morning. It's Evan Bray. I hope you are managed to dig out and get on your way this morning. Lots to talk about the dig out, the storm. How did it work out in your nook of the province? Are you snowed in? I'm hearing and seeing pictures on the text line of snow drifts in some parts, 3-4 feet high, covering 3/4 of the door on a shed, for example. We've had a couple of those texters come in. If you look at the highway hotline, it looks like the southeast part of the province still probably the most compromised. At one time, that Spy Hill to Mooseman Highway, Highway 8, was completely closed down. Now it's been open, but it sounds like maybe a bit of a standstill near the border because many Manitoba highways are still closed and they're working to plow those out. So we will talk more about this throughout the morning. We've got open lines coming up at 9 o'clock, and I look forward to hearing from you on that. Also, this time of the year, year-end interviews are a common thing. The federal leaders have been doing them. Mark Carney says they aren't purposefully luring conservatives to their side of the floor. Meanwhile, conservatives pointing fingers at the liberals, saying that's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to get a majority the dirty way. I'd like to see how you see it. We are actually going to start the show momentarily with one of our favorite National Post political commentators. That's coming up, and then open lines to hear from you. Also, this year, vinyl record sales are the highest they have been since 1984. Our friends from Vinyl Diner Records will be joining us to talk vinyl records after 11 o'clock, and we want you to join the conversation as well. What was that first record you bought? The record that you maybe wore out, you played it so much. Or if you've got a question for our guests, we would love to hear from you. That's coming up after 11 o'clock. All right, let's get going. Here is today's Big Talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, The Big Talker.
Well, we've talked about this a couple of different ways. The future of the Conservative Party, many people, right after the election, said, you know, the fact that Pierre Poilievre was not successful in forming government, the fact that he lost his seat, still not likely to deter them as a party from changing leaders. He, of course, has since got his seat back in the House. He ran in that by-election in Alberta. Now, a recent column that I read in the National Post explored the potential step if the party were to look for a new leader. I love reading the articles from Tasha Carradine. We've had her on our program many times before. National Post media political columnist. And I've caught up with Tasha Carradine this morning by phone. Tasha, thanks for taking the call.
Oh, my pleasure, Evan. Good morning.
Great to have you here. So do you think there is a growing talk around this notion of who could replace Pierre Poilievre? Is this a quiet murmur, or is this becoming loud in your thought, your opinion?
It's louder than a murmur, but not at any kind of planning stage. That's what I gathered from the insiders I spoke to. People are talking, they're speculating, they're thinking, they're looking around, but no one's organizing. It hasn't reached the phase of kitchen cabinets and, you know, backroom planning and that kind of thing. It's more that I think the floor crossings have raised the possibility of a leadership. You know, there's if Mark Carney gets a majority, he will be in office potentially until October 15th, 2029. It's a long time for backbenchers to sit around in the Conservatives. It's a long time to just, you know, twiddle your thumbs, basically. Not a majority government can do what it wants, right? So that's I think, what's really spurring this conversation of saying, okay, we don't know if Poilievre is really the guy to take us to the next election. If this is what we're facing now, and this is where we've got to now, people are leaving under his leadership. They don't have confidence in him. Then what does that say about him as the leader taking us forward? So that's, I think, where the heads of a lot of people are at.
Is that the case, Tasha? We had this conversation when Michael Ma made his walk across the floor. We took open line callers around, you know, is it someone to blame? Is it the credit should be given somewhere? What do you see as causing not only the two floor crossers, but the one person stepping away from the party altogether?
Well, they're different. They're motivated by different things. You know, in the case of Don Tremont, there was a whole kerfuffle about him not becoming speaker, the party not putting him up for speaker because they wanted to keep all their votes, you know, because you lose one when someone becomes speaker, they're neutral. So the party didn't back him on that, and that's what Andrew Scheer said motivated him. He was bitter about this. You know, take it for what you will. Then there's Michael Ma had a very interesting situation here in Toronto because he wasn't supposed to run in the riding of Markham, Unionville. That actually had a Liberal incumbent in it. He was supposed to run in a riding in Don Valley, I think it was either Don Valley North or East, in Toronto, where he was actually from. And the party said, no, you're going to run up here. And he, by a fluke, ended up winning because the Liberal guy had to drop out over some comments he made about the Communist Party of China.
Right.
So it was a lucky break for Michael Ma. But next time around, I don't think he'd win necessarily as a conservative in that riding. So in his mind, there may be this calculus of like, okay, well, I don't have a ton of loyalty here and to you, and I want to keep my job. So, the motivations for someone crossing the floor are always very individual. Sometimes people are promised things. That doesn't appear to be the case here. That's what Don Trump said he wasn't. But anyone who leaves a party, it's a blow to the leader of that party, obviously, because it means that they don't want to be on that team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, caucus management is a huge job for a party leader. It's not just about attacking the government. If you're in opposition, you've got to manage your people. They've got to feel loyal to you and like you. And that element seems to be a little frayed in the Conservative caucus right now.
Tasha Carradin is my guest, National Post media political columnist. So your article that I referred to here from the National Post, the Conservatives who could replace Pierre Poilievre, you've named a few, and I wouldn't mind just talking about a couple of these names.
Sure.
So you say, you call him the caucus contender, Jamil Giovanni.
Yeah, so Jamil Giovanni is the MP who took over Aaron O'Toole's riding of Durham. He was a former broadcaster, a writer. He's spent the last couple months going across the country on a sort of anti-DEI, anti-woke tour of universities, kind of like Charlie Kirk, drumming up support for those ideas, but also, very conveniently, I'm sure, collecting lots of names, right, which are always handy if you want to run for something, like a leadership. Never a bad thing to have a lot of potential supporters in your pocket. So he's been doing that, and he also gave a year-end interview to CBC. MPs don't usually do that, Evan. That's for the leader of the party to do, but he spoke out on a whole bunch of things, offering to, you know, help broker a trade deal with J.D. Vance, who's his friend. You know, one of the people that I connected with in the party, a caucus member, called him brilliant and very close to J.D., you know, thought he was not trying to spike the party, but still, you got to wonder why he's doing this. He's definitely building a profile for himself, and that profile could always, you know, be activated for greater things down the road.
He's been a supporter of Pierre Poilievre throughout this whole time, though, as well, right?
Oh, 100%. And he said, I support the leader. But when he was asked, could Poilievre stay on if he lost another MP to the Liberals, he said, I can't speak for him.
Right.
You know, he said, I don't think that's going to happen. I hope it doesn't happen, but I can't speak for him. So, you know, he is definitely loyal to Poilievre, but at the same time, you know, people always do look down the road. And I think he realizes that he is a contender in a lot of people's minds for the same kind of crowd that I think supported Poilievre. He appeals to them as well.
Okay, let's go to the next name you have in your article, Jason Kenney.
Yes. So I asked Jason in Ottawa a couple months ago at the event, Canada-America Business Council, are you going to run? Do you think, would you consider going back to federal politics? And he was like, no, not at all. Yesterday, I was talking to someone else after I wrote my article, and they called me and they said, I've heard, actually, he said 3 weeks ago to me, he didn't rule it out. I'm like, really? Mm-hmm. So who knows? You know, Jason Kenney is experienced premier, former Harper cabinet minister, bilingual, very affable guy, and, you know, has contacts across the country. So if he were to be interested in a hypothetical leadership in the future, he'd be a very strong contender.
Mark Mulroney.
So, yeah, Mark Mulroney is Bay Street's pick, or was anyway, in April. A lot of rumors flying around here in Toronto that people in the banking community wanted to put him up for a potential leadership run. And then that kind of died down over the summer, but it's still there. People mention him. They do mention his sister Caroline as well, but Mark is sort of the name that comes up the most. And I did speak to someone else in the finance community, though, who said, you know, I don't think now he will, because he just got this big job as vice chair, global vice chair of CIBC in September.
Right.
So it's a lot of money to give up for the you know, the dregs of politics.
And the last name, which may be the most controversial out west, Doug Ford.
Doug Ford, the Canada First. I mean, Doug Ford is setting himself up as the rival to Carney. He's, you know, his ads derailed Carney's trade strategy. Like, they did. I mean, I don't think that was a good thing, but they did in the States, and Carney confirmed that just again this week in an interview. He's out there saying, don't go to Florida, just this week. I'm not going to Florida, and you shouldn't either. And painting himself as Captain Canada, painting himself as the anti-Trump, that's what won him the election here in Ontario earlier this year. And I think he's leveraging that to say, in people's minds, people have talked about Doug Ford as potential conservative leader for years, quite frankly. But I do know that there are other MPPs here now who are positioning themselves for a potential leadership run provincially if he were to vacate. So there is some thinking that maybe there's something to this, and people are gearing up for, you know, the next phase in Ontario provincial politics. So something's going on there, Evan. Whether it's still just in people's minds or not remains to be seen.
I still will be shocked. We're chatting today with Tasha Carradine. I still would be shocked to see Pierre Poilievre not come through this leadership race still intact as the leader of the party. But it does beg the question, with the way Mark Carney governs, in contrast certainly to Trudeau, is there a need for Pierre Poilievre to move closer to the center? Many people feel he's got those kind of that dog biting attitude when it comes to lots of issues. And while that might be something that keeps those base conservative members, is he likely to gain any towards the center, which clearly he would need to do if they hope to overthrow this government and take over as the official government of Canada?
So I don't think it's necessarily his messaging and the issues he's talking about that are the problem. I think it's his management style that's the problem. And it's a problem when it festers inside your party, as it has. And, you know, the Conservative Party had a lot of issues with nominations that were big-footed by the central party. People who wanted to run in the last election weren't allowed to do so, had raised money for the party and sort of strung along. And we're very angry. And the party has reviewed its nomination rules to try and fix that problem. But the governing by fear problem inside the party doesn't make for happy campers. And it also sort of seeps out to the general image the party has. Like you said, he's a take no prisoners, angry dude. Poilievre can come across as very angry. I saw him in the interview with Rosemary Barton at the end of the year, and he looked tired, too. I was a little surprised by that. He did not look like the fighter from before in the sense of the enthusiasm, but he still had the lines. He still had the, you know, costly Carney majority, this kind of thing. And I think people are a little tired of that. I think, he's got to find something else to appeal to the voters he didn't get, which were specifically boomer men. That's what they did not get in the last election. And in general, women. The women's vote went much more liberal. So if they want to get the, 100,000 votes in select ridings that they need to get the majority, they've got to find a way to appeal to those people. I don't see any change. It's like you do the same thing over and over again. Don't expect a different result. And he's not doing anything different. So what that difference is, I think they need to work out, but something needs to shift. And I think that he'll get a good score of review. I don't think the membership in Calgary is going to turf him by any means. But I do think his issue is the caucus, because the caucus has the power to get rid of him. And that's what I've heard from other people inside who say that's what his Achilles heel is. He's got to make sure they don't do an Aaron O'Toole on him.
Two questions in under a minute, Tasha. Number one, you've got your ear to the ground. Will we see more conservatives cross the floor?
Yes.
Yes?
I think so, yes.
You think we'll see more than one?
I don't know who specifically, but I hear yes. Okay. I hear yes that there will be something, some movement, yes. In
okay.
The year, yes.
And the last question is, I've heard speculation from many people, including those that are in Ottawa, political commentators, that we will see an election next year. Do you think so?
No, I don't think so. The only thing that would do an election, I mean, if Carney gets a majority, he has no interest in having an election. If he does not, if the floor crossing that, everyone thinks is going to happen does not happen, then he might, but only if he gets a deal with Trump. So these two things are the ones, these are the two elements. If Carney gets a deal with Trump, he can go to the people on that basis and say, give me a majority. Look, I've done what I said I would do. Or he can just get a majority in other ways and truck along. And I don't see why he would want to have an election next year. He's not a campaigner. I mean, he doesn't love campaigning. So I don't think that if he'd get away with not having a campaign, that he wouldn't choose that route.
Dasha, always appreciate having you on the show. All the best through the holidays.
Okay, thanks. You too.
Tasha Carradine, always appreciate having her, National Post media political columnist. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Open lines for you next here on 650 CKOM, 980 CJME.